Welcome to Beyond the High Road, a podcast dedicated to healing your heart and life following the grief of alienation. I'm your host, Shelby Mulford, a twice-certified life coach specializing in post-traumatic growth. If you're experiencing the effects of alienation and you're ready to heal, then this show is my love letter to you. Stay tuned. So we're starting this one off with a bang, y'all. We are delving right into the sensitive stuff. Here's why. After hitting publish last night on the first ever episode, I sat and I kind of wondered to myself what the first piece of content would be about, this first real episode with tools. And I let it sit for a while because I had a Zoom call with my daughter within that hour. So I just decided, okay, I'll just put it down for now and I'll do some content planning tomorrow. And lo and behold, on that call, I was gifted with my first piece of content. So as soon as we got on the call, during the first 60 to 90 seconds, she had made a casual reference to her mom and dad, referring to her stepmother and her father, of course. And it was in response to something, it was a casual reference, but it was in response to a question that I had asked her. I heard the sentence, but of course, it was like time stopped for a brief moment, and a flashlight was highlighting the three words, mom and dad. I don't know if y'all remember that TV show, Ally McBeal. I'm probably showing my age, but it was one of the first shows that I can remember anyway, where the human brain's imagination was acted out, embellished, right, a bit. So in this moment last night, the visual was that clear for me. It was like the words mom and dad, the letters were suspended in air, and like an interrogation light was illuminating those words, the mom and dad. Just for a brief moment, it was like all I could focus on. And time just froze. I was able to respond in a calm and rational way. In fact, I didn't even address it. I'll go into more about why I didn't address it then later. But I got off the phone and was just sort of playing it all back. But then I remembered what happened in the beginning. And I thought, well, now I know what I'm going to be talking about tomorrow. Thanks, babe, for giving me the inspiration there. I will have to say, though, looking back last night, I was so damn proud, and I am so proud of the work that I've done over the years, because what would typically happen for me in the past was that she would slip up and say mom when referring to her stepmom when she was a 4 or 5 year old, and my entire being would shake. The swirling in my belly would begin, the tightening in my chest and throat, the weak in my knees. My body would go into an emergency state the second that she would allude to her stepmom being her mom. And I knew back then that it wasn't my daughter doing it. The truth that they speak, you know, at that age, what's coming from where. They're adopting all of their ideas from what is being told or seen by them around them, right? Very honest existence. So it wasn't that my fear of her feeling that this was her mom. My fear was around what the intention of her father and stepmother were. I knew that if this was being told to her, that not very much good was going to come. That was my thought about it anyway, back in that period of time. Thinking back now about how I would respond, how my stress response would activate, that was not my fault in any way, shape, or form, the way that my body responded in that moment to her words, right? Her calling another person mom. In fact, it makes me sad for a couple of reasons. The first being is that I was in so much pain back then. It is so painful when you're in that position, right? I felt so much discomfort. My brain was telling me that I was being marginalized and undermined and potentially replaced. And as a result, I felt helpless and fearful, dumbfounded. And I covered it all up in anger towards them. Them meaning my ex and his then new wife. And then toward my sweet daughter, my sweet innocent daughter, I believe that I covered those feelings of helplessness and fear up by being busy and fawning over her, right? And neediness. So for that reason, it makes me sad to think about. I feel a lot of compassion for who I was back then, and number two, who my daughter was back then. If I was thinking these thoughts, that I was being marginalized and possibly replaced and undermined, and then I was feeling those feelings, what was the message that I was sending to her in those moments? Because I wasn't living consciously, I know that I would try to resist those feelings and act in fear. And I would get busy and needy and try to hide my anger from her. But I know that looking back, I can see me reaching for straws, scurrying to try and make up for whatever they were damaging. Was I edgy with her? Was I snippy, you know? Was I needy? Was I seeming insecure? Did that nervousness transfer to her, to my 4 and 5 year old daughter? And, you know, up to 9 years old. Did moments like those imprint on the template of her life going forward? What did she learn about the confusing nature of this conflicting dynamic? She's getting one message from mom, me, and an entirely different message from her father and this new woman in her life who wants to be called mom. So I have an immense, still, I've processed a lot of it, but there is still, I look back on that and there is a sadness for and a compassion for me and a sadness for what my daughter went through, must have gone through then, and how it might be affecting her today, right? How she envisions, pictures me in her mind, how she sees me as maybe nervous and weak and anxious, even in today, because of the experiences she had as a child. And how is that affecting her model for her relationships moving forward? I can think back about the first time that I ever recall my daughter saying the words mommy in reference to her stepmother. When it happened, she was in preschool. I remember where we were. We were in the car. She was sitting in her seat in the back, and she had told me that we'll just call her stepmom Amy. So she told me that Amy wanted her to call her mommy when she's there. And I, oh boy. In my brain, I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. At the time, I remember thinking, if I didn't know better, you would think that this woman didn't have any kids of her own, right? Because that is like a mom code that you just don't, that's a line you don't cross. Who would do that? Only somebody that doesn't have a child of their own, who doesn't know any better. I remember clearly thinking that, but I also knew that she had a boy of her own. Apparently though, it's not the shared view in the case of alienation. It's not the shared view that this is a line that we don't cross. Clearly this is a line that at least Amy crosses. And after much research later on, learning that this is a textbook characteristic for a person who practices alienating strategies. So I remember asking her, tell me more. What do you mean, honey? At the time, I remember like a mantra repeating to myself, stay calm on the inside. And she told me that one day while her stepmom was sick, her and her father drove up to Walgreens or wherever, the drugstore, to get her stepmother some medicine. And her dad told her while in the car, you know what would make her feel much, much better? If you went in and handed her the medicine and called her mommy. Holy shit, y'all. I was fuming. Oh my God. Because, you know, having children, you know that they all come out, they have these little personalities, and maybe part of that too is my codependency that I pushed off on her. But she has always wanted to please. A child in general always wants to please. A child wants and needs the approval and the affection of their parent, a daughter with her father, and also with her mother. That's what they need. That's what they strive for. That is hardwired into the human brain for survival. To look to mother and father as their superheroes. For protection, to lead them to do the right thing, to do what is favorable. So the fact that her father had told her that this is what she needed to do, basically, and that's how I interpret that, to make this woman feel better,
4-year-old doesn't have the cognitive development yet to understand that it's any different than face value. You have the power to make this woman feel better. And the way you can do it is by calling her mommy. That's powerful shit if you think about it to a 4-year-old. So I was fuming. My head was spinning. But at the time, I didn't have the tools or the information, the education to handle it in the way that, let's say, I would handle it today. That was in preschool. And in kinder, just a couple months later, when I showed interest in being the class mom, I found out that her stepmother had volunteered to be class mom for my daughter's classroom. When she did have, she could have been class mom for her son's, also in elementary school. So, and then first grade, meet the teacher. I walked in holding my daughter's hand and we went to go meet Miss Moss, her first grade teacher. And Miss Moss looked at me puzzled. She looked down at my daughter and looked at me. I thought I just met her mother 2 minutes ago. She just left. And I thought, oh God. I was mortified because here I am holding my daughter's hand. And there's this woman at that time walking around posing as me, as my daughter's mom, you know, completely negating or ignoring, starting to try to erase me. I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it. And was mortified in the moment too, embarrassed, right? In front of this woman, my daughter's teacher, going to be teacher for the next 9 months. What do I say in that moment? And I just, it felt so dramatic at the time. And it was, right? It was really traumatic. But I just told her, I just said, you know, it must be a mix-up. She must have been a communication mix-up there. That's her stepmom. That's probably who you're referring to. I am her mother, you know? And then left it at that. She'd already, that year, her stepmother was class mom again before I could even get there. The teacher finally grew wise to what was happening and we were in constant communication for the rest of the year. But yeah, this is something I would have to have the meetings with the principals of the school. Two schools. She went to two different elementary schools and both times did that. So this stepmother actually sort of infiltrated the school, right? She started working at my daughter's second elementary school. She worked there and was there all the time. It was like, as like a gatekeeper. That's how I interpreted it anyway. I'm not trying to put out there what her intentions were. I don't think that that's fair no matter what anybody does, but I probably should have shared that in the beginning, that these are my interpretations of all of these experiences that I'm sharing with you. That's just a little disclaimer there. So I tell you all of this, not to bash her stepmother or her father, but to share with you my intimate knowledge on the topic at hand, on erasing and replacing, and for future. I share these stories with you not to commiserate and not with the intention to rile anybody up or to dredge up any trauma. I tell you these things to share with you my intimate knowledge of the topic from the perspective of a target parent. Like, I get it. I get what you're going through or what you've been through. And boy, do I have stories. I will tell you now, I didn't share this in my first episode. I brought home who it is I actually am serving here. I beat that into the ground for you guys. Like, I went over that, but I don't know how much I explained that. I am not a huge supporter of re-traumatizing myself or anybody, for that matter, you, and dredging up the past in a non-productive way. There's a purpose always for everything that I will share with you, or I that is my aim, right? Is to have a purpose for everything and not for the intention to just bash or to act as a victim. Those things are not helpful for anybody. So I want to, that will always be my stance. I will never intentionally share these things with you because I want someone to commiserate with me or to indulge in feelings and these negative feelings with me or for yourself, right? Ever. I share these things, as I said, to let you know that I intimately know what you're going through. I know the feeling that you have as a result of the alienation and of being, in this case, erased and replaced, or the efforts to erase and replace you from your child's or children's life. I come from the standpoint that no matter who you are or what you've done in this world, that we are all intrinsically good. We are all well-intentioned in our soul. And that whatever series of events may have happened in your life, happened to you, for you, however you want to look at that, they have one after another, the sequence, have layered into becoming your template for living as an adult in the future, you know, today and in the future. So we as human beings are all capable of the same things, the same kind of love, the same crimes, the same successes, the same amount of money made, the same, all of it, right? We each have our special, unique gifts. Yes. One person may be very musically inclined to the next person, whatever. But ultimately, morally even, we are all made of the same fibers, right? It's what happens, the sequence of events that happens from the time that we're born, from the time that we're infants, all the way through. Each one of those events forms a thought in a person's mind that makes them feel a certain way and then, of course, act, right? We think a thought, which causes us to feel a certain way. That feeling spurs an action, and that action produces a result. Basically, what I'm saying is even the alienator is a human being, and although they have done some hellacious things, they too are just as worthy as we. And they too, coming back to what I was saying, are doing what they think is the right thing and the best thing in any given moment for themselves, right? And not all alienators are narcissists. I mean, all the studies have shown it's narcissists or people that are exhibiting traits of BPD as well. And who knows what the studies will bring up further, but that's where it stands right now. But a narcissist may not be able to feel the way that we feel because of things that have happened or because of the patterns due to the traits of the disorder, right? We're all doing what we think is best. Anger or not, their insecurities, their anger, their self-righteousness, their feeling righteous in the moment, they feel that by cutting us, target parents, out of their life and subsequently the child's life is the best thing. Because either we need to be punished or we are bad or we are dangerous in the case of a lot of BPD. They are convinced what they are doing is the right thing. And I think that's very important to understand. At least it has been for my healing. Not because I'm trying to give them a hall pass, right? Or an excuse. But because knowledge is power. Understanding the dynamics of this is what caused me to have closure. So knowing my ex, his wife, they are doing what they think is best, even though they fill up a building, a 20-story building, with people that disagreed with what they were doing. Even though I disagree and I could have many people disagree with me about what they're doing, they still feel that. I can't change them. I say this assuming that you have already tried and followed through with all of the advice from your lawyer or from any book and your own research about what to do in confronting the alienating parent about their behavior. That, I mean, it goes without saying. When I'm addressing this in all future subjects anyway, I am strictly referring to how you reconcile with the result of you already exhausting all efforts out there to basically change the other parent's actions. Okay? Capiche? I just wanted to make sure that you understand that I am not telling you to just lie down and take it and accept it. We cannot change anything outside of us. Not without manipulating it. And it's never lasting change then anyway. So knowing that I can't change anything other than my own thoughts and my own me, what I have to do then is to equip myself with knowledge and then act accordingly. Remaining a victim after becoming aware is not an option for me because I would be actually making that choice to remain a victim. Instead, I want to be the cause of whatever I do moving forward, of what my life, what my results are in my life. I want to be that cause. So knowing that they think, they meaning my ex and his wife, think that they are doing what's best, I can't necessarily say I can respect that. I can accept that. I do not believe that it's right for my daughter. I would never choose that for her. But fighting with it and resisting something that I cannot change at this current point in time, I cannot change their minds. If you figure out how to do that, please let me know. But at this point in time, I cannot change what they think and how they feel. So I need to stop fighting it. I have to stop resisting what is happening outside of my home. And that's the crux of the problem, isn't it? With alienation, when our child leaves our home and goes to the other home, we don't have control over it, right? It's outside of our jurisdiction, if you will. And so what happens? We end up feeling so helpless because now we know the other parent is gonna act against us. Right? Or we think that they are, right? Evidence has shown this. So what do you do? Well, I can tell you now with confidence that the only thing that you can do with any progress is to take care of your mind, take care of your body, and take care of what happens in your home while your child is still in it. If your child is still in it with you, if you share your home with your child, if you do not, like in my case, what I can do is to be the best mom possible for her, even from afar, is to take care of my mind. And in one of those ways, if they are using these tactics or these strategies of erasing and replacing, right? Calling stepmom mom and calling me, referring to me by my first name, I have to let it go. Let me back up a second. It is so important for you to not just resist. Like, oh, it's not happening. It's not happening. I think I need it. It's so like your healing will come to a halt if you just try to put it out of your mind. So that is not the answer. It'll get you by for months, sometimes even years, for you to just pretend like it's not happening, right? But you will have to revisit this. I promise you that. Unless you actually process the emotions that are attached to this. What I mean by processing is allowing what I was describing to you earlier, the physical feelings. Because as a parent, we are protectors. When we bear our children, or as a father, when a child comes into our life, our own blood comes into our life, chemically, we change. We become protectors, right? And so when something threatens that, it hits us in the cells of our body. So you must actually acknowledge that in a productive way. To fly off the handle in anger and retaliate will not get you far. Not that I haven't done that. Trust me, I have. But it will not get you the result that you want to get. Allowing an emotion, I need to have a podcast on what allowing an emotion really is in case you don't know how to process an emotion by yourself outside of therapy. It's a core part of your healing. So allowing an emotion without pushing it away or denying it is the first step. Understanding how being called by your first name, or how your child calling somebody else by your name, mom or dad, how that's affecting you, where it's affecting you, where you feel it in your body, not just in your brain. Noticing what the fears are that are coming up and talking them out rationally, or at least hashing them out on a piece of paper. That is step one of dealing with it. I just got all over the place, but like, yes, step one of dealing with it is looking at the emotions that you're having and the thoughts that you're having as a result of the erasing and replacing strategy. Giving yourself ample time to sit with those emotions. And when I say that, I don't mean wallow, and I don't mean to feel sorry for or to victimize yourself further. I mean to allow the feelings to be present, to feel the sadness, to feel the hurt, even the fear, It's a clean pain, as opposed to when our brain dirties or mucks up the pain and we add more suffering on top of it. Allowing yourself to feel the emotion and the hurt from the erasing and replacing strategies. Arming yourself with knowledge. Understanding why the person who is exercising the alienating strategies is doing so. Why this might feel so necessary for them. Arming yourself with the curiosity. Journaling every day. Journaling about the thoughts and emotions attached to or associated with these erasing and replacing strategies or behaviors, or the manifestations in your child. Getting all of the thoughts out of your brain and onto a piece of paper so it's out of you. It's like you are now taking that stuff and getting meta on it and looking at all of the thoughts that are bouncing around in your head. I used to think, doing that, like writing it all down, I think of it, I'm with me all day. Why would I want to go write this shit down, right? I don't want to see it anymore. I'm sick of thinking about it. Why do I want to see it too? Let me just tell you, that was a naive way to look at it, because there's science behind it and there's studies behind it. When you actually write it down or look at something outside of you, instantly your brain understands that there's distance between what is written on a piece of paper or on a screen and what is inside of your brain. Does that make sense? When it's inside of your brain bouncing around up there as a thought, your nervous system and yourself believes that it is part of you. When you actually put those things outside of you on a screen or on paper, personally believe that writing it down is more therapeutic, but do as you will. It doesn't matter, just better just to get it out of you. When you do that, you instantly have separation from the situation. The rest of your brain, your limbic system, understands then that this is separate from you. And now this is something that you'll have to reinforce and reinforce and reinforce. It's not like you'll instantly be like, oh yeah, that's not real. It's a process that requires diligence and repetition. But by doing that, you gain 40% of your progress right there by getting it separated from yourself. So separating yourself from it by writing it all down and then getting curious about each and every sentence that you've written on that paper or on that screen or through that keyboard. Asking yourself and questioning each and every sentence. Asking, is it true? Is this fear true? How can it be not true? How could I see this differently? I have so many ideas for so many, I'll be podcasting for years, you guys, because I have so many different ideas for podcasts, but one of those is this right here. Byron Katie talks a lot about it, and it's about going to inquiry with all of your thoughts and turning things around, turning even small phrases around to mean the complete opposite, and then considering how that might be true for a situation, but questioning your own thoughts and beliefs around what you think is finite about this situation going on with the erasing and replacing. Just wanting, not gaslighting yourself by any means. Know that like I need to be very, very clear about that. But I'm asking you to open up your mind to understand more about the situation so that you don't feel like you have tunnel vision, right? That you've got blinders on and you can only see your portion, your situation, and the danger involved in the way that you're looking at it. You'll find a lot of relief and you'll feel a lot more in control of your next steps if you open yourself up to a much bigger, take a few steps back from the situation and look at it from a bird's eye view. That's what I'm asking here. That's what I'm offering that you try. And lastly, just remind yourself that no matter what, you will always, always be your child's or children's mother or father. Nobody, I don't care what is said or what actions are taken, nobody can take that away from you. Nobody. I want you to really, truly feel that and remind yourself of that. Like, actually talk to yourself. I would offer anyway that you would actually talk to yourself and remind yourself on the daily, hourly, minutely, secondly, whatever it is, that nobody will ever take that role away from you. That is your God-given, if you don't believe in God, that was your universe-appointed role forever, for after we're gone, forever, you know, from this earth. This is your role. You are your child or children's mother or father, parent. And whatever is being done at current will never take that away. There's a reason that you are their parent. They need you, exactly you, not the step-parent, not the grandparent, not that those people do not add to their life, but they need you specifically. And I would go as far to say, is even the situation that seems so terrible right now, I believe what propels me forward is I believe that all of this is happening for me, for my daughter, for a purpose, for something greater. Whatever that is, I'm not going to question it. But what I'm sure about too is that I am the perfect mother, the mother for my daughter, for all of the right reasons. Everything in me, right? And I mean that to you too. I mean this with all of my heart. Every flaw that you think you have, every gift that you have, every idiosyncrasy, every experience that you've had up until having your child or up until now, it's all for and meant to happen for the benefit of your child. The way that you are, exactly how you are, is your child's perfect parent. So there's nothing bad in you. Any mistakes you have made in the past, those are fine. That doesn't make you any less worthy of being your child's parent. I can't say that enough and more with more feeling. You are worthy, and there is no mistake is ever going to take you away from your child in their heart. You are tied to your child forever, right? No matter what your child might be saying or doing or what anybody is saying or doing, that is something that is, it's finite. They have your blood. They might have your eyes or your hair or your, all of the things. They are made of you. So I think that that is so important to remember, because our egos get so, so hurt and so riled up in situations like this. And because we are, most of us, target parents, I haven't met one that hasn't been anyway in my coaching, that we are codependent by nature or display codependent qualities, I should say. So our nervous systems are already overactive. So something like this that hits so close to the emergency, like it's threatening our protector role, it really hits home and it hits hard. So I think it's very important to remind yourself that nobody can ever take this role away from you, no matter what anybody says or does. The tactics that they display, they meaning your ex and or the step-parent or grand, whoever is alienating your child from you, the tactics that they display and the strategies that they are exercising are all about them, and they mean nothing about who you are and who you will always be to your child. So I think I'll leave you with that today. I so appreciate you listening. This was actually a longer one than I expected to be today. And so I really appreciate you staying till the end. Please, if you haven't already, hit subscribe so that you can be notified of the next coming ones. You can always visit me at Instagram at Beyond the High Road Coaching. My website is also in the show notes. It's beyondthehighroad.com. Thank you so much for listening and sharing your valuable time with me. And till next time. Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much for listening today, guys. I'm honored that you chose to share your time with me. If you like what you've been hearing and you want more, come join me in the new monthly membership, where we take the concepts that you hear about here and, using a logical framework, you learn to apply them to your fixed situations, upgrading your thoughts and your life, even while experiencing the grief of alienation. For more information, go to beyondthehighroad.com. See you soon.